Welcome to Shanahan on Literacy, the site where we believe there is nothing more noble than to teach somebody to read. I'm Tim Shanahan, your host, and today's podcast is going to focus on 3Q-ing in the law. I had a question. What is your thinking on teaching Q-ing systems? And here's my response. When I was a young boy, I learned about King Clovis. He was the one who revealed the limits of his power by ordering the tides not to come in. They came in anyway. More about that later. This question about queuing systems was posed to me a couple of weeks ago by a colleague I hadn't spoken with in a long time. I wasn't surprised by his question. He knew I was a fan of explicit phonics instruction, and over the past couple years, some states have banned 3Q-ing. I've written about 3Q-ing before, but not since governors and state legislatures warmed to the topic. Their actions make it worth revisiting. So, what is 3Q-ing? Well, 3Q-ing refers to how people recognize and read words. A cue is a signal that provides a hint as to how to read a word. Three such word-reading cues have been identified: semantics, syntax, and graphophonics. A semantic cue provides hints as to the meaning of the word you're trying to read. For example, the sailor lifted the blank. Semantically, it should be clear that the word, that blank, refers to something that a sailor can lift. That would include any words that have an obvious connection to sailing, like anchors, mainsails, or cargo, but it also points to items that anyone might lift: pens, coffee cups, magazines. You can lift someone's spirits. Syntax offers a second cue. Whatever's to be lifted by this sailor is a noun, reducing the population of possible words to one of the 80,000 English nouns. And then finally, there are the graphophonic cues, the letters or spelling patterns, and the sounds or pronunciations that they signal. Readers might try to decode from print to pronunciation, but they could also look only at the first letter or two, and along with those other cues, the semantics and syntax, to make an educated guess. And in this case, let's say the word begins with an A-N. It would be a great hint for anchor, though sailors might lift some other items that begin with that way, such as anchovy. Kenneth Goodman, in 1967, he was a noted psychologist, theorized that proficient readers would rely on print as little as possible, anticipating words based on those 3Q-ing systems. He thought that proficiency meant that the reader had become liberated from the print, relying on letters as little as possible to identify the words. Is there any evidence that readers use those 3Qs when reading words? Well, there actually is. In that sense, 3Q-ing is a research-based idea. There are several studies showing that children as young as 2 years old expect print to have meaning. If you show them a cereal box and ask them to read the word Kellogg's, they'll tell you it says cornflakes or cereal. There's also extensive evidence from miscue analysis. These studies examine oral reading errors and reveal that when readers misread words, those miscues often fit semantically or syntactically with the rest of the text. 3Q-ing theory is based on substantial amounts of such evidence. That evidence shows that readers, when trying to read words, will use whatever information is available to accomplish that. If you have any doubt, have someone cross out some words in a text and see what you try to do. So what's the problem? The problem with that research is that it's based on misreading. When someone fails to read a word, they may rely on those semantic or syntactic cues, but not when they read the words accurately. Instead of readers becoming unglued from print as they gain proficiency, eye movement studies show that good readers look at all the letters when they read. Other studies show that as readers increase in proficiency, their reliance on those graphophonics cues increase, while their use of the other systems decline. In other words, poor readers rely on these cueing systems to help them to guess at the words they can't read, while better readers focus as much as possible on the letters and sounds. those other queuing systems aren't reading. They're a workaround when for some reason reading isn't working. That's probably why so many studies have found that phonics instruction is beneficial and that reading brains show a coordination of the visual and phonemic information. By way of contrast, in the 60 years since 3 queuing was proposed, there's no direct evidence that teaching it improves reading. So does that mean I support 3 queuing prohibition laws? No. Even though I suspect that much of the 3 queuing instruction is worthless at best and somewhat misleading at worst, I don't think it's a good idea to prohibit its use. I think such instruction is a mistake, but these laws and regulations are more likely to undermine quality instruction than to encourage it. Here's an example of what I'm talking about, and this is a direct quote. As used in this section, 3-queuing approach means any model of teaching students to read based on meaning, structure and syntax, and visual cues. This quote is from the Ohio version of the 3-queuing prohibition. This law not only seems to ban attempts to teach students to guess at words, which is a reasonable goal, but it neglects the nature of reading and what it means to teach reading. This law bans the teaching of essential aspects of reading, elements included in the simple model of reading, in Scarborough's reading rope, and in the recent active model of reading. It forbids much of the reading instruction identified by the National Reading Panel, the National Early Literacy Panel, the National Literacy Panel for Language Minority Children or Youth, or what is recommended by the What Works Clearinghouse, which is the unit of the U.S. Department of Education's Institute of Education Science that provides practical guidance to educators. These sources identify key aspects of what we mean when we speak of the science of reading. Reading comprehension is an important aspect of reading, and it depends on using meaning, structure, and syntax. Perhaps the political types don't think Ohio's children should be taught to comprehend. Now, of course, you might ask, isn't that law focused specifically on word reading? Well, no, actually it isn't. I checked Ohio's definition of reading instruction, and it includes comprehension. That means if Ohio teachers try to teach reading comprehension, they'd better not use any approaches focused on meaning, structure, and syntax. Kind of like protecting baseball by prohibiting the use of any bats. Am I saying that the problem here is that this law may be overgeneralized to include more than decoding? Well, that is a problem, but it's not the only one. This kind of ban on 3-queuing may have unfortunate negative consequences for the best explicit decoding instruction, too. The problem here is that parents, journalists, social media types who advocate for such legislation don't really understand phonics instruction or decoding despite their positive advocacy. Successful decoding in reading is a two-step process. It involves more than translating the letters into phonemes, though that is the starting point, and as such, students should be taught to perceive the phonemes, to link them to letters, to pronounce spelling patterns, and to break words into syllables. Because of the complications of English spelling, there's more to it than that, however. Perhaps no one has had as deep an understanding of our spelling system as the late Richard L. Vineski, the author of The Structure of English Orthography and The American Way of Spelling. Here's how he explained that second step in the decoding process. And again, this is a direct quote. If what is first produced does not sound like something already known from listening, a child has to change one or more of the sound associations, most probably a vowel, and try again. The result, however, should make sense in the context in which it appears. That simply means that when we decode words, we need to monitor our success, and we do that by evaluating our pronunciations against meaning, structure, and syntax. Of course, Ohio has mandated that students only be taught the first part of the decoding process. They now prohibit the second part, the part where readers may determine that their first try wasn't right and that they must consider other alternative sounds or pronunciations. No, when their first attempt at decoding fails, students shouldn't be taught that guessing from context is the next step. It's this this trying alternative pronunciations that Dr. Vineski talks about, that is that second stage of the process. Ohio kids are required to figure that all out by themselves. Teachers apparently can no longer teach kids to use meaning to evaluate the success of their first decoding effort, and if it isn't successful, what they're supposed to do from there. Teaching 3Q-ing is a bad idea. I agree with that. Students should not be taught to use pictures, meaning, context, or syntax to guess at the words. They should be taught how to decode words. But that doesn't mean banning 3Q-ing is sensible. Clovis couldn't stop the tides, but of course he didn't have the power to control the moon. Readers must decode. Politicians can't change that. Unfortunately, they can prevent teachers from teaching all the skills needed for students to learn to decode proficiently. When politicians try to legislate a science of reading, they should consult with scientists, not journalists, social media experts, or representatives of special interest groups. And that's my final word on 3Q-ing. Again, I don't think it's a good idea to teach 3Q-ing, but attempts to ban it are so ham-handed that they're likely to do real harm to children. If you're interested in getting a written copy of this, it will post on the Shanahan on Literacy website on November 16th, 2024, and you can download it from there. That written copy also includes seven research references that were referred to in the paper. With that, I'd like to thank Greg Johnson, our sound engineer, for making this podcast something that you'd want to listen to. And I'd like to thank you for tuning in. I hope to see you up the road a piece.